Yo, what up, citizens? It's your boy Dustin, and I'm back here with another banger. I got your girl, Baby Lips.
Hi.
As we learn once again in Spanish, it's labios de baby. So guys, listen, we're just going to hop right into it. We know exactly what it is that you guys clicked on. And we are just gonna lay it down on you. The move.
Oh my god, the move.
The move. Literally moving, transitioning our entire life, packing up everything physically possible, things that we have incurred through the years, selling cars, to come here. That's the unspoken thing about traveling the world, is the selling of everything. Wouldn't you say?
Well, yes. But like, this was the most dramatic move ever of all time.
Facts. Major facts.
And like, we're not strangers to moving. Like, we've moved. Like, if you live in LA and you rent, you've moved. Like, you know how to move. You know how to move house.
Every year, bro. Every year. People say YouTubers move every year. Facts. Hard facts.
It's not just YouTubers, though. Like, if you're renting, unless you got a nasty deal when you moved in, you're always chasing a better deal.
Right. And that's a hard chase, considering that, like, in LA, the property, the real estate, the commercial property, there is always something newer, better, nicer, cheaper.
Always.
Every single year, they're opening up a new skyrise, a new apartment complex, a condominium somewhere, spread out throughout the entire city. And it's always like, okay, well, we have this 500 mega complex, and we'll give you 2-3 months to move in off the year. 2 or 3 months off the year. Bruh.
That's gold.
Right. So we've done that for a very, very long time. And, you know, we, through the transitions of moving places, and I think the longest we've ever lived in one specific place was, what was it, like 5 years?
Yeah, and we had a nasty deal.
Oh my god, it was filthy. Literally filthy. Let me just go ahead and give you guys a little preview of that. So, we moved into this apartment complex. I'm not even going to hit you with a circa year, but it was a long time ago, right? And when we moved in, it was like rugged area. Like, nobody was trying to really live there. There was a post office across the street. Long story short, post office is gone. Now
no,
it's like,
there was a post office and like a taco cart, right?
There was no taco cart. We lived in so many places, we're just marrying them in. But there was a post office, and across the street was like this, theater, basically, like where they have all the concerts and everything like that, like the Palladium.
Yeah.
And so it was funny because when we moved in, like, that's kind of how we heard about, like, we discovered internet and social media to the fact that people were doing this for work. Like, I was a company man. When I say company man, I wake up, ass crack of the morning, literally shower, brush my teeth, comb my hair, put on a suit and tie, grab my briefcase, and I would leave the house. But as I was leaving the house and I was walking through the hallways of this complex that we were living in, really nice luxury complex back then, and I would be so tired, like so tired. I would see these guys that were just filming themselves with their phones, and like they had on their pajamas, like they pulled all nighters. Half of them were half drunk, like, you know, and they would just be filming themselves with their phones, and I remember I used to be like, man, like, we live in, like, the most bummiest places because people just sit in the hallway and just film themselves.
Little did you know, they were, like, Viners.
And when I say Viners, guys, I'm not talking about, like, oh, you know, my nephew Vines. No, no, no. Bro, like, I'll put this in perspective. I'm going to drop some names right now.
Okay.
I'm going to do it.
Drop it.
King Batch, the number one Viner. He's the most, I mean, you can go to Guinness Books of World Records. He's the number one most Vine person. King Batch was one of those people that I was like, yo, who is this guy? And if you don't know King Batch, first of all, what rock have you been living under for like the last 10 years of your life? But he was the king of Vine. Our next door neighbor was a guy, I think his name was Chris Lepore. Christian Laporte. He's another huge, like, Lily Pons. Like, who else? Foozy Tube.
I, like, don't even know who these people are.
He's, right. I was the one walking past him. Foozy Tube. Foozy Tube was living there. The Alex Wasabis. Like, this was where every creator, like, lived in LA. Like, it's almost like they called each other and was like, yo, they're giving out three months
of rent. Literally, like, 10 years ago or something, maybe even more years ago than that. This
yeah.
was so long ago. And, like, we were so in the company grind, it's not even funny.
Once again, suit and tie. Imagine 6, 7 a.m. in the morning. Scratch that, not even 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. And that was even, sometimes I, like, there was a couple nights I damn near spent the night at work. And
no exaggeration, so did I.
Yeah, literally.
Literal nights.
Literally nights. Like, people would see me the next day wearing the same stuff with, like, dried up crusty drool on my mouth because I just slept in my office chair. But I would walk past these people. And the funny thing is, we were living in, like, a decent place. It was a, like, little studio.
It was tiny.
Yeah, it was tiny.
Don't sugarcoat it.
But let me bust it down. We had two corporate gigs hitting incomes. Hitting the same household. These dudes that I was walking past, doing nothing all day, perceivably nothing, were living in the penthouses.
Oh my god, they were. And the penthouses were like...
Oh no, you gotta build it up. Build up the penthouse.
The penthouse was like... Literally, it might as well have been a mansion on Rodeo Drive.
Literally.
Like imagine the house of your dreams... That was the penthouse in this apartment building. And I remember me and Dustin were like, we're very friendly people, okay? So the guy that leased us our apartment back at that apartment, he was one of the homies.
Like,
we were so cool with him. And so I remember when whoever was living there moved out and he was like, do you guys want to come and see the penthouse? And I was just like, okay. Like, I didn't grasp what I was about to walk into. And oh my god, like jaw on the floor, I'm like, is this even the same building?
Seriously.
And then he hit us with the price.
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, why would anybody pay for this per month on rent?
Let me explain something to you, how LA works. First of all, you can charge whatever the hell you want to charge in this city. There's always going to be somebody that just pays it with, like, no qualm, okay? The penthouse that he was showing us, I'm going to throw numbers.
Hold on, and this was 10 years ago, so imagine the cost of it today. I mean,
10 years ago.
Pre-COVID.
Right.
Imagine the price of it.
So 10 years ago, this penthouse, and it was like a two-bedroom. It wasn't even like so many bedrooms.
It wasn't a lot of bedrooms.
No.
It was nasty.
It was nasty.
It was huge.
Right. So a two-bedroom place in the same building that we were living in, on a little bit higher floor. Like, it was going for like $40,000 a month. Now, to a lot of people, you guys are sitting and you're like, $40,000? Yes. But let me bring that into perspective.
$40,000. I don't care who you are. That's silly to pay on rent.
It's mindless to pay that on rent. But let me just brush this down. In LA, you have to make 3 times the monthly amount. Me and Veronica went in there and did the math. So the people that were living there, and I just, you know, I'm not in their pockets, I'm not going to bust them out, but I named some people, so you should know, we're paying $40,000 a month for rent, meaning 3 times that amount. We're talking about $120,000 minimum that they're bringing in a month just to get approved for this place to be able to live here at the rate of $40,000 a month. Why on earth would you ever spend $40,000 a month? But when I heard those numbers, those weird guys in the morning that were just like grungy and just like, it was almost like a fraternity sorority house living there. I viewed them completely different.
Yeah, and that's when, okay, so I think this podcast is turning into, like, how we discovered Hollywood, right? So, maybe we'll call it that.
All right.
That is what got Dustin, like, that's what got the wheels turning. And Dustin was like, okay, hold on. you're doing, what are you guys really doing, and how are you swinging this rent? And so he was working at a very legitimate company, and I'm gonna, you know, wait until he's comfortable to tell you guys about that part. But it's a very legitimate company, and he spent some time like doing some research about like how
right,
how is that possible,
right?
And I remember he came home one day and he was like, yo, there's this thing called YouTube. And I was like, what? Do you remember that?
Dude, I was shooken. Shooken. Now, let me put this in perspective. Like we said, this was about 10 years ago. It's 2021, okay?
Was it 10 years ago?
No. It was 10 years ago when we lived in the building. We discovered that maybe like our third or fourth year in, I'd say.
Hold on. It had to have been longer than that. It had to have been a little bit longer. It had to have been like 12 years ago.
Oh, no, I'm saying when we discovered that, like, we lived there for about 5 or 6 years. We discovered YouTube probably like 3 years into our five or six years of living there.
Yeah.
And for me, like, I guess, like, when it comes to business, when it comes to career, like, I'm very analytical. Like, 1 + 1 = 2, right? And I don't understand how the guy with the accolades and, you know, working at this Fortune 500, you know, company, suit and tie, rubbing elbows with some of the top tier people in the entire country, how I'm living in this studio apartment, and this dude that is walking around in like Homer Simpson pajamas in the middle of the damn day is paying $40,000 a month.
Right. It shook him. And so he went to work, like I said, and this happened probably over the course of a couple weeks. And one day, I will never forget, he came home and he was like, yo, you have to check out this thing called YouTube. And I was like, what? And he was like, you gotta check it out. And so I'm like, okay. So he showed me a video, okay? And back then, the first person I ever watched on YouTube was this girl. Her name was Andrea's Choice.
Hold on. I don't even know if she's on YouTube anymore. I have no idea. But huge shout out to Andrea's Choice.
So that was the first person I ever watched. And I was like, I don't get it, Dustin. What do you mean? Like, she made this video and put it on the internet? Like, I don't get it. I didn't get it. Like, it was like this girl living in LA. I don't even know what the video was about. And I was just like, my brain couldn't connect the dots. Like, what do you mean she filmed this and put it on the internet? I don't get it. Right. I don't get it. I didn't get it. But when I tell you, I was hooked. It was like I fell into this like dark circle abyss of YouTube.
That's called the Matrix.
Yeah, I entered the Matrix and I was in there, and right, there was no getting me out. I can't even tell you, like, and it's not even like I was. Andrew's Choice is fantastic, right? Like, it was a good channel, whatever. But it's not even like I was interested per se in like what she was doing, but so much as like how she was doing it. Right. I didn't get it. And then, you know, you start watching videos, it starts suggesting things, and then it starts to memorize your habits, and like the things that it suggests are things that you're interested in, right? That's how they get you. And so it was like a week into it, I was just like, all I watched was YouTube. I was so obsessed, and like all I talked about, I'm sure at that time, was like YouTube. And that's how I ended up cutting all my hair off.
Yeah. That's a whole nother
story. We have
story,
to do
guys.
A whole other podcast for that, because that was dramatic. But that's how we kind of,
right,
like, first got introduced to YouTube, right?
Yeah, and it was a friend at my job. And, you know, the funny thing is, I think I was like, you know, I was complaining. I feel like I was complaining about, you know, these people. I was like, oh my God, you know, these people are just stinking up the joint, man. Like, it's a nice building. Like, it's all these young. And then when I say young, they were our age. Like, they're our age. Like, they're not like, you know, they weren't kids, you know. And I think it's funny because when I figured out about YouTube, I think the first person I watched on YouTube that was sent to me by my friend, who obviously told me about YouTube, And once again, if I had to put this in perspective, maybe 2013 we heard about YouTube?
I don't know.
2012, 2013?
I feel like our timing is kind of off. I didn't really pre-think about this before we started filming it, but it was something like that.
Right. So, the first person I watched was a guy that worked at Disney. Okay, so the funny thing is, I don't even know how I got this guy's, you know, handle on YouTube, or how I found his channel, whatever the case may be, but he was a black dude, and he worked at Disney in Florida, and he was sweeping the parks, and like, the stories he had about being a Disney employee were hilarious.
Okay, definitely.
And they were hilarious.
Disney, just so you guys know.
Right. They were hilarious to me, because I used to work for Disney too. Once again, like the lone black dude, right? And the funny thing is, why I never worked in the park at Disney. I worked at Radio Disney. So, you know, these golden pipes you guys are hearing, they're pros at this, all right? And it was one of those things to where I worked at Radio Disney. We did promotions for, like, movies like High School Musical and, like, you know, that whole era.
Way back in the day when it first came out.
Right, right. We used to do, like, shows, like, you know, we used to like, have opening acts. Like, it was a huge thing. Like, I was working at Radio Disney. But the stories about the company were very parallel. And I'm like, man, like, I related to this guy. He was funny. He had an outgoing personality. And his name was Swoozy. Now, you guys may not know who the Swoozy guy is. But if you don't know him, big shout out to Swoozy. Mm-hmm. Big shout out to you, my man. And there was another guy that was suggested from him. His name was Timothy De La Ghetto. Now, for people that are hearing these names, you're probably like, okay, Dustin, I don't know who the hell these people are. And for people that know who they are, if you know, you know. But it's so funny to me because, like, I'm seeing these people capture their lives on YouTube using this platform. And I'm thinking to myself, like, well, this is cool because I've been doing this my entire life. Like, if you guys go back and look at our videos, I posted a couple of clips when I was in high school. Okay, high school. And I'm with my nephew, and I'm in high school. I remember when I was in 7th grade, my mom bought me one of those cameras. Like, it was a camcorder. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those cameras that you have to put on your shoulder. Like, it was an old school camera. It was shooting in, like, 480p. Like, it was broken down, old school. But at that point in time, it was the newest, nicest camera. So big shout out, Mom. I appreciate you. And I used to walk the schools. I used to go to, like, basketball games when I was playing basketball, football, running track. And I would film myself on this camera. And still to this day, I have the footage of this camera because I have the camera. And this was way before. I'm gonna date myself here a little bit. I'm going to age myself. This is before YouTube ever existed. So the concept that you can put all this content on a platform and it lives forever and you can share it with people was mind-blowing to me. And then I figured out people were making money. Say no more. Shook to the core.
That's so funny.
Shook to the core. Because, like, I was doing this for free my entire damn life. And these dudes living in $40,000 a month penthouses just, like, filming themselves, walking down hallways, hanging out on their couch. And I remember going home, I was like talking to Veronica, and I was like, listen, what are we doing with life?
Yeah. I distinctly remember the one that lived across the hall from us. I don't know what his name was.
Curtis Lepore. If you're listening, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast.
I remember I would get... Dustin always left for work before me, so by the time I left, it would be like a couple hours later. And I remember there would be so many mornings I would leave and I would open up the door and he would have a whole set in the hallway filming. And I would be like, bro, what are you doing? Like, I'm trying to get to work. And he would be so, like, immersed in it. And, like, there'd be days I'd have to, like, wait and, like, wait till they were done doing whatever, you know. But I just always was just like, what are they doing? And then when Dustin showed me YouTube, I was like, I don't get it. Like, I just didn't get it. And it took me a long time to come around to, the idea of posting on YouTube.
You didn't want to at first. Like, when I've been recording myself my entire life, literally my entire life. So having a camera in front of my face has never been a weird concept. When I told Veronica the idea, like, oh my god, I want to create a channel, she was like, oh yeah, you can do it. And I was like, no, we're doing it. And it was like, it took us a while for you to feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, Dustin is very camera friendly. I am not. And I think it's not a secret. I'm very awkward. I'm awkward on camera. I'm awkward in my real life. Like, I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know what to say. But I think that over the years I've gotten a little bit more comfortable. I still think that if you watch our vlogs and if you've watched our vlogs and you're familiar with our vlogs, like, you can tell I'm super awkward. But, you know, it's just, that's me. That's who I am. But I swear I'm the most wonderful person.
She is. Yeah, she is. And you know, the funny thing is Veronica's always been an introvert. Like, she has a very small family. And she's always been, like, very introverted. Like, for me, I come from a bigger family.
Yeah.
So, and not just a bigger family, but I'm the youngest in this big family. Like, I'm the baby of the family. So, you know, I feel like if you're the youngest child and you're listening to this, you know, the youngest child has a role in the family. Like, you were like the born tension breaker. You're like the comedic relief, you know, and my whole family, I swear to you, we are entertainers. Like, my entire family.
I'm not joking.
My entire family is entertainers. We could have an entire reality show that could be on some Kardashian level, minus like, you know, the drama. And can run for like 20 seasons because it's just, man, we will entertain. Like, we're people. Like, we are outspoken, we're people, we're high energetic. Like, that's how I was raised. And Veronica, I remember the first time you came to my house. First of all, me and Veronica met in college. Let me just create that context. But we met in college. And I remember the first time I was like, listen, you need to meet my family. Like, I knew it was real. So I was like, okay, you need to meet my family. She's like the first girl that I brought to like my family that was like me bringing somebody and not just like, you know, oh, that this person lives down the street or whatever. And so it was a situation to where I think it was almost like sensory overload because there was so much going on. Like, I have nieces and nephews, like everybody's screaming, everybody's yelling. Like, it's like, and I feel like she was kind of like, you know.
Yeah. I did not know how to act. It was just everywhere I turned, there was people and noise and like conversation and it was just a lot. But I loved it.
Right.
You know, it was cool, but it was a lot. And it's so funny. Like, we'll have to do a lot of podcasts about like stories like this, but it was just like, I remember. There was dinner time and Dustin's whole family was there. And like, if you don't go eat when it's time for dinner, you're not going to eat.
Yeah. Like, you were legitimately going to miss out. And it's funny because, once again, I grew up in the house, since my family is the way they are, I grew up in the house to where all the neighborhood kids just come over. And they don't just come over like, oh, you know, we want to come over and see what they're doing. Like, to them, it's their house.
They just walk in the door.
Yeah, they'll literally just walk in.
I didn't know what to, like, I was like, who are these people walking into your house? Like, they would just open the door and walk in and just go to the refrigerator,
yeah.
Sit on the couch, just start, and I was just like, what is happening right now?
But like,
I can't, that did not happen in my home when I was growing up.
Yeah, but it happened in mine. Like, I would wake up in the middle of the night and go downstairs, and like, our neighbors would just be like, watching TV, eating a sandwich.
Like
Brother Man. If you're a Martin fan, Brother Man from the fifth floor, like, people would just walk down the street, walk into our house. Like, I would wake up in the middle of the night, and they would just be like, my homeboy at school,
that's
just
crazy.
By the couch on him by himself. That's none crazy. Of my family members down there, just watching TV, eating a sandwich, feet kicked up. But that's how I grew up. So, you know, I feel like that's where my comfort is in being in front of a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I think Veronica does a good job. She just adds a completely different level and complexity to this vlog that is necessary, first of all.
And it's not even like, I'm truly awkward. I remember in another apartment that we lived in, we had this neighbor. And I remember this one time, we all got into the elevator at the same time. And, or no, I was in the elevator. Dustin got into the elevator with him for the first, maybe it was the first interaction you guys had when I wasn't around.
It was.
And he looked at Dustin, I'm not kidding you, and he was like, so, you and your girl, like, what's up with that? Because he just didn't get it, because I am Dustin's polar opposite.
Literally.
Like, I think I come across mean and cold, and people just don't get it, but I'm really not like that. It's just like, that's just, if you don't know me, I think that's how you would like...
Right.
Perceive me to be, but anyway.
You know, the funny thing is I feel like it's funny Veronica says that because, like, there's a difference when I'm with Veronica and we're walking, like, through our, you know, our community or whatever, vice versa to when I'm walking by myself.
Yes.
Like, there's a significant difference. And, like, you know, it's funny because I feel like a lot of people may not get us as a couple, but he was the first person to have the testicular fortitude to be like, bruh, you know, man, you and your girl. And I was like, yeah, like, we've been together for a while. He was like, yeah. He was like, it's a little weird, isn't it? I'm like, okay, first of all, my man, talking about me and my girl weird. You can catch these hands, brother. Like, chill out with all that, right? And he was like, oh, no, man, I'm drinking. I'm a little drunk, man. I'm drinking. Don't worry about me, bro. Shout out to the homie. He was a good guy.
He really was. He was just genuinely, like, I don't even blame him, because I know how I am. I know how I can be. But anyway, that's why it took me so long to get my head wrapped around YouTube.
Right.
Because I was just like, what do you mean you want me to film me in the house? Or, like, out while we're, like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Like, no.
Right.
But yet, I couldn't stop watching other people.
Right. And see, that's the thing, like, you know... YouTube was a space where it lived kind of between Facebook and Instagram, to where it was a face of, like, reality. Like, people love watching reality television. I feel like, you know, I grew up watching reality television, like, The Real World and, like, Road Rules and, like, that kind of stuff, because it was real. It was real. It wasn't scripted.
At first, it was real.
At first, it was real. It was real. It wasn't scripted. There was no actors or actresses. And this is a whole nother story we'll get on in. I made it to the second round of The Real World. Like, it's a whole other story. Like, I auditioned to be in The Real World. I made it to the second round. If you guys want to hear about that story, me about to be on the road, like, in Real World, please let me know. But it was an interesting concept because, like, you know, we were watching YouTube and it was just people living their lives. And they were living very interesting lives and they were doing whatever they were doing. And some were interesting, some weren't so much. And I was like, man, this is awesome. Like, it felt real. It was like almost a organic, you know, non-GMO version of entertainment. Like, there's no scripts, there's no producers, there's no directors, like, there's no clapboard, like, there's no light man, like, there's no writers. Like, this is this person's life. And some days, they're going to get on here and they're going to talk about, you know, what makes them happy, and they're going to be so up, and they're going to be excited. And some days, they're going to be sad. But I feel like that's everybody. And it's real. It feels very, very, you know, organic. I hate when I see, and once again, no shade, no tea, but I hate when I see vlogs and it's just overproduced and so disingenuous. You know, like, it's just like, it's not real. I feel like I fell in love with vlogs that were real, and I felt that way about the people that we were watching. I was like, man, for the first time ever, I'm able to watch on my TV the reality, like,
yeah.
Vulnerability. I'm able to watch people's, like, trials and tribulations and their success stories, and I'm able to see their journey through life and, you know, really scale that and think to myself, man, like, you know, this person's very much like me. Like, I'm, you know, I'm very much like this person as well.
But I think that part of it's hard for me because I love being able to relate to people. But it's hard for me to be super open. I think I've gotten a lot better. And I think that over the course of our travels and our journey, you know, over the next few months or a year, whatever it ends up being, I think that that's my goal, is to just really, like, let my guard down more and open up to you guys more and just really, you know, like... like live without mm-hmm. feeling like I have to be careful about what I say or do or anything like that, because I'm very careful, I think, yeah. when it comes to the internet, because it lives forever, right? And I'm always thinking about, like, you know, what is Dustin's mom gonna think? Or
shout out, mom.
What am I, you know, the people I work with gonna think? And I think that I have to let go of that a little bit, because I do think that I do have a lot to offer, right? Like, I have so many aspects of my life that I think that would be really relatable to people, helpful to people, and I think that people would, like, really appreciate seeing it, like being lived out. And so that's something that I just really want to make. I think both of us would want, you know, to be a little bit more candid with our day-to-day, because, like, so much of our vlogs are just, like, one small aspect of our life, because we work so much. But I think opening up about work is huge. Like, there's probably a lot of people, like, listening to this or watching this that are thinking about moving and very curious about how do you balance work? Like, how are you sustaining your job? I'm positive of that. There's a lot of people out there that are going through financial hardships that, you know, would really benefit from hearing our journey of business and finance. Right. You know, I think that there's a lot of people that are down on their luck that would love to hear about me and Dustin's start when we first moved to California. I think there's a lot of things that you guys don't know about us yet that are, some of them are jaw-dropping, like, how did you live through that? And some of them are just super, like, wow, like, I would love to have a conversation with you about how you're doing that. So for me, that's part of my goal in this journey, is just being a little bit more open, because just like I feel like I could be helpful in sharing my journey to other people, I think other people could help me too, and just being like, hey, I've been through that, or oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. And I really want to be able to connect with people, because I think that, you know, at the end of the day, relationships are what you remember in your life, and the people that you connect with and the people that you find camaraderie with. And I know that for me, I'm a very loyal person. I love really, really hard. And that's very important to me. So I think that if I can share that and project that a little bit more, I think it would be really cool.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's interesting, because I feel like this journey that we're on is going to open up a lot. It's going to open up a lot of stuff. Like, you hear about people traveling the world, and not only do you hear about people traveling the world, but, like, you know, you hear about the glitz and glamour. Like, there is people that are traveling the world currently right now that you may be watching, and all you hear about is, oh, I went here, and oh, I did this, and oh, I ate this. But I feel like the reality is there's a lot of interim. Like, there's a lot of the middle ground that doesn't get covered. Like, you know, the struggles. Like,
yeah.
You know, not just the struggles in terms of the traveling, because that's an abundance within itself. But the struggles is in, like, okay, cool, like, we just got done working, now we have to produce content. Uh-huh. And it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. But the people that are successful manage. I think being very, very organized and just almost having, like, a meticulous concept of how you want your channel to be played out, you know, how you want to progress. The funny thing is, from the first time we started doing this until now, like, I've took so much classes on photography. I've took online classes on, like, you know, filming. But I don't ever want our content to feel so overproduced. I mean, I think that's the worst case scenario. I want our stuff to be very, you know, real, feel organic. Like, you know, we don't make vlogs that are 2 or 3 minutes or 4 minutes. Like, we make content that we want you guys to feel like you were along with the journey. And that's a lot of work, you know, like, this, that's the part that we didn't really think of when we were watching all these people, the Swoozies, the Android Choices, you know, is the work that goes into it. People think, oh, well, editing doesn't take that long, but a full day of filming, you know, we're talking about multiple cameras, multiple lenses, you know, we're talking about having a podcast, we're talking about converting all that into files small enough to put on your computer, and then going through the process of editing and generating, uploading, tagging, like, that's a full-time job.
It's a lot, and it is not, if you're not 100% committed to it, it's not going to work out. This is not something you could do and think you're going to turn profit right away. Like, you're basically going to be doing this for free for a very long time, and you have to be committed to it. And for us, I think that what really got me to say, okay, we'll do it, it was after we took a trip to London. We went to London and Paris and the Maldives.
Right.
And we filmed a lot of that trip. I just blended two trips. We went to London and Paris first.
Mm-hmm.
And we filmed a lot of that trip, and you guys have never seen it because we were still talking about doing YouTube. But we filmed it. Well, we kind of filmed it. And when I tell you, it was seeing those videos over the few months when we came back that was like, oh my God, I'm so glad we have this footage.
Right.
That really made me feel like, listen, YouTube, if nothing else comes from it, we will have these memories forever. That was what kind of pushed me over the edge. And I promise you, I could not be more thankful that we started that channel, because we have some footage and memories on there that are literally worth their weight in gold, that we could never, literally, that we will never be able to get back. And it's because we were vlogging that we have that footage and we have those memories, and we will have them forever. So for me, the vlogging thing and posting, I love that we're able to share that with other people. And like I said, I really want to make sure that I'm doing my part in facilitating positive, healthy relationships with other people that watch our vlogs and connect with us. But beyond that, I love that there are things that we will have forever that
right.
we'll be able to share with our kids, our grandkids, and our great-grandkids and our great-great-grandkids.
So let me break it down to show you guys how deep that statement is. I feel like some people, you know, that may have rolled completely off of you, what was just said. But if I had to put in perspective on how deep that is, here it goes. For some of you guys that may have known, my older brother passed away a couple of years ago. And when he passed away, the things that kept my nephew going, because he had a son at that time that was 5 years old, the things that kept my nephew going and in a good position was the fact that he was able to go on YouTube and watch the content of him and his dad being together, spending
yeah.
time together, and, you know, playing together. Like, the funny thing is I look back on life and I look at on people that I've lost. I've looked on memories that I wish I could have back. Photos, you know, say 1,000 words, but videos and vlogs are priceless. You know, the reality is we didn't get into this really to make money to that concept. Like I said earlier, like, I was in a position where I was doing this way before YouTube even existed. YouTube was created in 2005. I was doing this way before 2005, carrying a camera and just building up massive amounts of content. What I do appreciate about that content is a picture says a lot, but a video says everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get to know how you were feeling, you know, where did you go, how did you feel about where you went, who you went with, how they felt, the vibes, the moods, the personalities. It captures life. It captures life even in a moment. And these things you'll never get back. You know, the crazy thing is Veronica was talking about our trips to London, and, you know, pretty much throughout Europe, and we lost, if I'm being honest with you, we lost some of that content. Like, we started vlogging on a GoPro, like the GoPro 1, and we lost that content.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as we're moving, coming here to Mérida, Mexico, I found that GoPro and I found the memory cards that were saved on, and I downloaded that content on my computer, and it took me back into that moment. Back into that moment. Because prior to that, it felt like just a dream. You know, when you have a dream and you wake up and it's a vague memory, and you know, you may have like, you know, photogenic memory or whatever it's called, but you may be able to kind of recant what the dream was, but to be able to live in the moment, like, is the most priceless thing in the world.
Yeah.
So, for the people that want to get on YouTube to make money, don't waste your time. Find something that you're passionate about. And if you're really, truly passionate about what you're doing and how you're doing it, make sure to keep that content. Make sure to, you know, put that up. And if you put it up for the right reasons. Put it up for the reasons that you feel like you want to be able to come back to this one day and say to yourself, man, that was a good time. Or man, I enjoyed being with that person. Or man, I enjoyed going there. Because that's essentially why we did it.
Yeah.
And it was, we just got to a position to where we're making money off of this. And if I have to bring things in perspective, we've been on YouTube, give or take, for almost 5 years.
Granted, it wasn't consistent because we did take some time off for a while, but that's why you guys only see such a small glimpse into our lives, because we really do put a lot of focus into our jobs that sustain us, and you know, it's just what it is. You know, you have to work to live, and YouTube is really fun and it's great. And like I said, I love being able to connect with people, and I love to be able to have these memories that we'll be able to share forever. But you know, YouTube is, it's a funny little platform. Like it's amazing, because if you are somebody that makes it on it, it can be, I mean, the sky's the limit.
Life-changing.
But for the majority of people, it's a hobby, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a hobby, and that's just the long and the short of it. And I think ultimately for us at this point in time, I think what's important to us as it relates to our audience is that we are just being a really great outlet for you guys. We're really being a great option for someone that needs to connect or wants to connect, and we're being a positive example of a black couple, if I'm being really honest. Because one thing that I do not like is just always seeing this perception of black couples or black people in general, and it's just not positive. And that's not everybody, you know. Dust and I work really hard, and we're really, you know, we're in love, and we are sharing our lives together. And I think that's important for people to see. I think it's important for young people to see. I think it's important to see a real relationship that's really living day to day, grinding, and finding our way in this world. I think that is really important, because I know that for me, when I was young, I did not have that. You know, I had my parents, obviously, and they were a great example of love. Outside of that, I can't, like, who do you look up to if you're, you know, a little girl or a little boy, like, as, you know, looking for, like, a positive couple, a positive example of love that's not, you know, dramatic or tainted or whatever. Like, I think that is very important to me at, you know, in our channel.
You know, it's funny you say that, because J. Cole, the rapper J. Cole, said it best: no role models. Literally, like, it's one of my favorite songs from this guy. No role models. And we live in a generation to where there is legitimately no role models. Like, I mean, we live in the era of OnlyFans. You know, and that goes both ways. The people that are putting the content up and the people that are out here supporting content. You know, I grew up watching shows like The Cosby Show. you know, shout out to Claire Huxtable, girl, you know what I'm saying? I grew up watching shows, one of my favorite shows, like The Fresh Prince. You had Aunt Viv, both of them. Both of them. And even shows like Martin and, Living Single. Like, you know, these shows had so much integrity because they were young, they were professionals, you know, they were well-to-do, they were family-oriented. You know, it was a situation to where there was an identifiable individual on each show. Like, there was somebody that you can look up to.
Yeah.
Content now, no.
It's scary.
It's terrifying. Like, it's terrifying. We don't have kids, but to have a position where you have children and your children have no idea. I mean, they're, you know, once again, I'm not saying anything crazy about any individual artist, but like, we got songs out like WAP, and it's a hit. And like, you can go online, you can go to TikTok, and there's children under the age of 10 singing and doing dances to that. Tells you very much where our society's at.
And it's crazy and sad to me because I did not live that life when I was 10 years old, like, or 12 years old, or 14 years old. Like, I did not grow up like that. And I'm not, okay. I am not saying that there's anything wrong. Like, it's a hit song. There's a lot of hit songs like that. And there's a lot of people that are making their way in that arena. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that it is very important to be able to connect with somebody or, you know, somebody that's positive, that's not taking their clothes off or twerking or anything like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I you know, it's not hard to make wholesome content. It really isn't. You know, I feel like you almost have to go outside of your way to make the type of content that we're speaking of. But the reality is the platform is full of it. So full that YouTube has so many stipulations to where I don't even know how people are making money. A lot of people aren't making money on this platform anymore because the vast majority of their content has been demonetized.
Right.
You know, and I think that's why a lot of people are going into the podcast arena, because you're entering an arena to where you can say whatever the hell you want to say on this and it's monetizable. You know, but with YouTube, they're cutting a lot of that stuff off. And you know what the crazy part is? They should. Like, YouTube should cut off. The filth and decadence is on there, man. It's crazy. And it's funny because maybe a year or two after we figured out about the people that we figured out and figured out YouTube, we started figuring out about pranksters. And the people are doing these pranks. And you guys have probably seen them. It's like, you know, this guy goes to the hood and, you know, he does this. But, like, the reality is, like, it's crazy because, A, how are you portraying this community? B, you go to this specific community to do these pranks because you know the reactions are going to be wild. You deal with a lot of people that are dealing with mental health, and you monetize that. And every single thumbnail was boobs, butt, you know, like, the most ridiculous thing ever. So YouTube, in a weird way, it's a great thing they did that because some of the biggest prankers back then in that arena are completely gone now. Yeah. And the reality is, if your content can't transcend time, if you can't make content that isn't cleavage or somebody shaking their butt on a vlog, like, I'm sorry, you've expired.
Right. And don't get me wrong, like, I can respect, you know, we'll do a whole separate podcast on, like, bodies, you know, sexuality and
right. All
of that, because I definitely have an opinion, and I think that those things are important in a relationship.
Right.
100%. But I think that, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. you know, and listen, I'm somebody that is very aware of how I look, right? Like, I take a lot of pride in my body. I take a lot of, I'm very, like, self-aware. And I have, you know, insecurities, and I've gone through my whole thing. Like, I could do a whole other podcast about body image and, like, my journey and perception of body image. I promise you I could, because I have gone through it all. And I'm very, like, self-aware of it. Like, I spent a lot of time, like, when we decided that we were going to be doing this, I spent a lot of time, like, wrapping my head around bathing suits and stuff, because I know that, you know, eventually we'll be near the beach and swimsuits will be a thing. So, you know, heads up when you guys see the swimsuit vlogs, please be nice.
Listen, be nice or be blocked. So here's what we're doing, guys. Here's what we're doing. Like I said, we're traveling the world. My name is Dustin. This is Veronica. We have a YouTube channel called DNV La La Land. We are, to my knowledge, we are the first black couple that is traveling the world. Traveling the world. Not living in one place here and there. We are the first black couple to travel the world, and we are excited. And we are bringing that to your table, guys. So if you want to be a part of this journey, make sure you subscribe. We just went live on Apple. We're on iTunes right now. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And yeah, guys, I mean, that is basically our journey. That is how we became to get to a position to where we're on YouTube, where we're podcasting. The moral of the story is, you know, if this is what you want to do, do your research, do your due diligence. But it's definitely something that, you know, if you're looking to retire and get rich, find something else. This isn't it. But if you're looking to put in the work, learn a craft, be able to storytell, this is as good as it's going to get right now. And if you're really looking at maintaining your memories of friends, family, loved ones, your journey through life, because that's what we want to do. Yeah. To the point where we're like 100 years old and, you know, we're somewhere in a nursing home and our grandkids and our great-grandkids can gather around and watch this journey as we travel around the world. That is the most priceless thing in the world to me. No matter how much money we've gotten so far, or how many people have tried to sponsor or endorse, whatever, the ability to capture our memories the way we remember them is priceless.
Yeah.
So, major shout out to everybody that's watching. You know, you guys are the real ones. If you made it this far, that means you really, really, really rock with us, man. Because, you know, we're 52 minutes into this. But anyways, guys.
Hey, if you did make it this far, comment hashtag real one. Just so I know.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? The funny thing is, we'll know who the real ones is. Because y'all be commenting real ones. Anyways, guys. Until tomorrow. Because we're going to keep these podcasts rolling. I assure you. Some, once again, may not be here on the YouTube channel. Some may be specifically just podcasts. So for the people that have already signed up to our podcast on iTunes, much love. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. And for the people that haven't, what are you waiting for? Okay? What are you waiting for? Anyways, guys, it's your boy Dustin and your girl Baby Lips. And at the end of the day, live life beautifully. No regrets.
And until tomorrow.
Wanna shake the ground? Wanna break away? Let loose. I'm tired of waiting. Gotta make that move. All the neon signs. Now they shout to me and you to write our story. Wanna shape the news.